great singing. You guys may be seated.
Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you this moment and just thank you. Thank you that you are a God that loves us. Not because we're lovable, not because we're good, but because you are God. You're righteous and holy. Father, this morning as we just come into your presence, we pray that we take a moment and just lay everything at your feet. All of our frustrations, worries, cares. Father, you are our Savior, our Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit is here with us this morning, that as we begin to look through your word, that Father, we would take away nothing more and nothing less than exactly what you have in store. Father, we thank you, love you. In your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you. Glad you are here this morning. Obviously, Randy is not here. He is off running, as he does every year at this time for this event, with Michael, his son. They have a big team that comes together and runs. And so he is off doing that, running a 5K. He did not practice this year, so I told him I'd go ahead and prepare a sermon for 2 to 3 weeks. You may want to check on him tomorrow. He plans on being back in the office this morning, and so he'll be back in the pulpit preaching next Sunday. And so we're praying for them and their family. So be sure you check on him though tomorrow. He may need some help. He may need some prayer. But I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm excited to be speaking from God's word. And here with you this morning, we're going to be in Mark. Today we're going to be talking about when God doesn't make sense, when God seems to be silent. Now, we've all been there, especially, let's be honest, if we look at the news today and we see everything that's going on in the world, begin to look at it and say, where is God in all of this? We look at the turmoil going on with ISIS in the Middle East and everything that's going on with terrorism, and we look at it and we say, God, where are you in all of this? We look at the state of the economy, maybe just getting caught up in the chaos of the election cycle and all that stuff. We say, God, where are you in all of this? Maybe something that you're dealing with in your life, and God, I don't understand. Let's be honest, as you read through the scripture, we begin to read stuff in the scripture and it says, this doesn't add up. I'm confused. This is not how I see it playing out. Maybe it's something in your own life that it just doesn't add up. But let's be honest this morning, how many of you would say that you have sought the will of God? You've been in a circumstance, you've been in a situation, you have sought the will of God, and he has been silent. It's frustrating. We begin to doubt, we begin to question, maybe I'm not doing this right, or maybe I need to do this more. God, why are you silent? We begin to grow doubtful and frustrated, and we wait. The people in our life can make it even worse. We all have maybe a family member or friends, it just seems like everything goes right in their life. Everything falls into place. Their kids look like they're always well-dressed and look like they're well-behaved, and we wonder, why can't my kids be like that? They always seem to get the best parking spot at the shopping mall or whatever it is. It's just, and they'll tell you about it too. Man, God has blessed me this way, and you're just looking at them thinking, God, let me have a little bit of that. Why do they have everything together? And you may be asking yourself, where is God in all of this? Where is God when it doesn't make sense? This morning, I want you to take this key point away. Don't tell Randy, but we're going to cheat. I'm going to give you the key point up front, all right? And it's this. It says, just because God is silent doesn't mean that God is absent. That's where we're going to begin to park out and dwell this morning. Just because God is silent does not mean he's absent. Just because you may not hear him does not mean that he does not hear you. Just because you feel like you are not in the presence of God does not mean that he is absent. This morning we're going to look at John the Baptist. I heard a lot of stories about John the Baptist. Where the story we're going to look at today is a story that's not often told. Now you may be asking yourself, who is John the Baptist? He was a radical prophet. First off, he was the cousin of Jesus. He was related to Jesus. And he was brought to prepare the way for Jesus. He was this radical prophet. He was kind of weird. He wore animal skins. He ate locusts. He ate wild honey. He was just the type of guy that would get in your face and tell it like it is. That's John the Baptist. So this morning, we're going to be in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. The story we're going to look at today is not often told about John the Baptist. To give you a little bit of backstory here, the king at this time is King Herod Antipas, and he is married. King Herod Antipas was married, but he's taken a liking to his brother's wife. This is a huge scandal. They begin flirting. This is a huge scandal. Unfortunately, today, this would merely probably be just a blip on your Facebook feed, but at this time, as king, this was a huge scandal. Now, Herod Antipas divorced his wife and married his brother's wife, whose name was Herodias. Hopefully she looked better than what her name implies, but her name was Herodias. Now, as you can tell, this was a huge scandal, especially going on with the king. And so John got into the face of the king and said, "This is not right. This is not holy. This is not of God. You need to cut it out." That's where we're going to pick up the story today and begin to hang out here in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Now, I do apologize. The scripture this morning is not going to be up on the screen. So you're going to have to just do it the old-fashioned way and follow along in your Bible. Technical difficulties. What we do in the office when anything goes wrong is we blame it on Will. And so we're just going to say it's Will's fault this morning, okay? So you're going to have to follow along in scripture. But in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 17, it says this. It says, "For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her." Now, this is John the Baptist. He's been preaching who Jesus is. He's been preparing the way for Jesus. He's been speaking out against the king. This upsets Herodias. Verse 18, it says, "For John has been saying to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' And Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted to put him to death. She could not." Men, lesson number one, never tick off a woman. This is Herodias. She's telling her husband. She said, "John, I don't like what he's saying. I want his head. I want to cut him. I want to kill him. All right. I do not like the message that he is giving here." Verse 20. We're going to look at the response. He says, verse 20 says, "For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he had heard him gladly." What's taking place here is King Herod Antipas recognizes who John is. He is a man of God. He is righteous. He is good. He is fulfilling the Lord's work. And on the other end, man, he has this wife who is not liking John the Baptist. She says, "I want his head. I want him to be dead." So what does her husband do? What does the king do? He tries to compromise. Takes John the Baptist, he arrests him, and he throws him in prison, says, "Maybe this is good enough." Now put yourself in John's shoes. Here's John. His entire life, his entire purpose in life has to point people towards Jesus, to prepare the way for Jesus. When people came to him and said, "John, I want to follow you," he said, no, you need to follow Jesus. When Jesus came to him to be baptized, he says, no, you should be baptizing me. He says, I'm not even fit to untie your sandals. So here's John in prison, devoted his life to Jesus. Here's Jesus outside the prison, committing miracles, doing all kinds of great stuff. And so naturally, if you're John, what are you thinking? Well, I've devoted my life to Jesus. Jesus is out here performing miracles. Surely Jesus is going to get me out of here, right? I've been doing everything that he's called me to do. I've been faithful to him to the point where following him has placed me in prison. Surely Jesus is going to rescue me from here. At this point, John's just wondering. I wonder, is it going to be an earthquake and the cell doors are going to fall down? Or is he going to show up with angels and flaming swords like he's done before? This is going to be great. I can't wait. Jesus did nothing. He waited. Now, to see Jesus' response, we're going to have to flip over to Matthew chapter 11 real quick to see how Jesus responded to John the Baptist. We're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 2. It says, "Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, John's saying he has, basically what he's saying is he has heard the miracles that Jesus has been doing. In fact, the disciples have come. It says, heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word with his wise disciples. So the disciples are there visiting with John, and they're thinking, John, it's awesome, man, to see Jesus work. He's turning water into wine, and people are being raised from the dead, and people are healed from leprosy, and people are recognizing for who he is. It's awesome. It's great. Here's John, who's been faithful to Jesus Christ, and he's in prison. He's frustrated. He's frustrated that the disciples came to him and not even Jesus, his own cousin. And he's beginning to have doubts. So this is what John tells them. He says, go back and ask him, he says, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Let's grasp that statement for just a second. John tells the disciples to go back and says, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? You see, John's beginning to have doubts. He knows his entire life he is devoted to Christ, to fulfilling his purpose in his life. Here he is in prison. He's wondering where Jesus is, and he's frustrated. Naturally, some of you would be like, nope, I'm solid as a rock. I'm going to be faithful to Christ. Some of you are thinking, man, I can relate to John. I've been faithful my whole life, and here I am in this doubt. I can relate to John of asking what's going on here. But the key thing is, I want you to understand that John is not questioning who Jesus is here. He knows who Jesus is. He's devoted his whole life to pointing people towards Jesus. What he's beginning to question is Jesus' agenda. Basically, he's saying, Jesus, what is your purpose? I thought your purpose was to come for the Jews, for salvation, for freedom, to set us free. Here I am in this prison fulfilling your purpose for my life. And I begin to question, what's going on here? Let's look at how Jesus replied in verse 4 through 6. It says, and Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame will walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And oh, by the way, blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Ouch. You see, Jesus responds to John with the very information that John is already aware of. John has heard everything that Jesus is doing, and he's getting frustrated. Jesus, you're out performing these miracles. Where's my miracle? Where's my freedom? These people out here had no clue who you were. Here I am, devoted my whole life to you. Where's my miracle in all this? Where is my freedom? And Jesus responds with the very thing that he already knew. He said, go and tell John everything that you see the miracles that are happening. Basically, Jesus is telling him, don't forget the big picture here. Don't forget that I'm fulfilling my purpose, the same purpose that you fulfilled, I am fulfilling. Here's John begin to question. John is thinking, really? I thought we were family, man. I thought we were in this together. And oh, by the way, you're telling me not to be offended by you? A lot of us can relate to the doubts that John has. God, where are you? God, where are you in all of this? Why aren't you being silent? Why aren't you responding? I need you. In the moment of John's greatest need, Jesus was a no-show. John began to doubt. And he continues to wait. Continues to wait. We need to flip back over to Mark chapter 6. See what happens to John. John continues to wait. He doesn't know. He's confused. God, what are you doing through all of this? I've been faithful to you and everything. Where is this coming from? So we pick back up in Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 21. There's been an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his nobles. It was his birthday. He invited all these nobles, all these people. He invited nobles and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter, who is named Salome, came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And we don't know what kind of dance it was. I'm sure it wasn't a ballet, maybe twerking. I don't know what it was, but it pleased the guests. And so here's Herod, and he's riled up, and he's probably had too much to drink, and he's trying to show off for everybody here. And so he responds to Salome. And he says this, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you." And he vowed to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom." Wow. Put yourself in Salome's shoes. What would you be asking for? I would be taking the half of the kingdom and running. But here's this girl. Maybe I don't know. Maybe she should ask for an iPhone or a pony. I don't know. But what does Salome do? In fact, she does what most people should do, is she goes to seek wisdom. She goes to seek wisdom. So she goes to her mom. Verse 24, she says, "And she went out and said to her mother, 'For what should I ask for?' And she said, 'Ask for the head of John the Baptist.'" How do you have a normal childhood after that? You have come to your mom to ask for wisdom and what I should ask for, and she said, "Bring me the head of John the Baptist." So this is the moment we're waiting for, right? This is the grand finale. John the Baptist is going to be saved, right? Jesus is just waiting for the perfect moment for his glory to be maximized, right? This is the moment. He's going to come in and save John the Baptist, and John's going to come walking out with this face painted blue, yelling freedom and all this stuff, and it's going to be great, and God's going to be glorified, and people are going to come to know him for the Savior that he is because of the miracle that he's performed in John's life. Let's see what happens. Verse 25, "And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, 'I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter.'" Here it is. John's going to be saved. 26, it says, "And the king was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Girl gave it to her mother." Let's take a step back here and put this in perspective. John the Baptist devoted his entire life to Jesus. So much so that he stepped out in obedience and stood before the king to call him out on the sin. John the Baptist, who was faithful to Jesus Christ, was thrown into prison because of his faithfulness. Jesus didn't show up. You see, this doesn't fit our American Christianity, right? This doesn't fit into what we've come to believe Christianity to be. We've been raised that God will bless you if you just seek his will, seek his guidance. So if you are faithful, do as best as you can, his blessings will be poured down upon you. We look at this and say, what's going on here? This doesn't fit up. Where is John's miraculous release? His salvation, we're being set free. Many of you are sitting in your life and thinking, where's my promotion? Where's my raise? Where's the new house, the new car, the health, everything together? Where is God in all of this chaos? You see, if those things make up the bulk, the majority of what we're praying for, then we've completely missed the point. We've completely missed the point. If all we're praying for is to be better and a more comfortable life, then we have missed the mark of what God's called us to do. You see, God did not promise any of that. I've said it before, I say it again, that if God chooses to never bless you again, God chooses to never bless us again, he is still worthy of all honor and praise due to him. Not because of the blessings or lack thereof, but because he is God. And he is good and he is righteous in all of his ways. And he knows far better than us. You see, God's purpose for John was fulfilled. John was faithful in his purpose. God's purpose was fulfilled in John. It just wasn't fulfilled how John wanted it to be. God's purpose was lived out in John. But it wasn't fulfilled in the way that John wanted it to be. We look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. It says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. No matter what, that His purpose, His plan is far greater than my own. I remember that it was in this very altar. I was a high schooler. I remember coming up here and saying, "Church, God, I commit my life to ministry. I feel like this is what God's calling me to do. I commit my life to ministry." And then college happened. I began to wonder, I don't know if I want to do that. I want to pursue something that pays more money. I have weekends free. I can do more stuff. And double majored in business and finance and started hanging out with the wrong friends and coming home late at night. In fact, my parents will testify that they spent many a sleepless night up praying for me. Graduated college and went off to work for Capital One, and man, had a great job as a branch ops manager for about 3 years for Capital One, and there was something missing. What was missing was God's will, God's plan. You see, I thought I had it all. I was making a great living for a bachelor at such a young age, and it was great, but there was something that was off. And in the middle of all that, I remember going to my mentor at the time, Jeff, and Jeff, I don't even know where God is at in all of this. It was through Jeff that he began to speak words of wisdom into my life. To understand that I was seeking my will, my plan, and not his own. And it was when I finally stepped out of that and into ministry, into what God was calling me to do. And I thank this church from the bottom of my heart to giving me an opportunity for part-time ministry. And I could work on my master's degree in seminary. And man, it was humbling and difficult to move back in with your parents after all that to make things work. You know what? In working in ministry, it's far tougher than ever it was working in the financial world. But I can testify today that my worst day in ministry is still far better than my best day out of God's will. This morning, I want you to understand, what is God's purpose in your life? See, some here are in that position. Some here have, you have lost a job and you're wondering, where is God in all of this? Some of you, it's health issues. Where is God in all of this? Maybe it's a loss of a loved one or whatever's going on. And you're thinking, where is God in all this? I don't understand. But the thing is, what I want you to take away from this morning is you don't have to understand God's purpose in order to trust God's purpose. You see, you are not called to understand. We are called to have faith in who He is and what He's called us to do. You don't have to understand God's purpose to trust His purpose. You see, we do not interpret God's goodness through our circumstances. We're not constantly evaluating our situation to interpret the goodness of God. But we interpret our situation through the goodness of God. You see, you fast forward not too long from here. We see Jesus pretty much in the same situation as John the Baptist. We see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Take this cup from me." See, Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew the pain that he was going to have to endure. He's saying, "Jesus, take this cup from me, but your will, not my own." Basically, what he's saying is, "God, your purpose, not mine. This is not what I want to go through. This is not the situation I want to be in, but God, your purpose, not my own." And even at the point where he hung on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Basically saying, "God, why are you silent? God, why have you turned your back on me?" In this moment, where is God? And you fast forward over 2,000 years later, and everything that our faith hangs on is this one moment when God seemed to be silent. No matter where you're at in life right now, our circumstances need to be interpreted through who God is. We may not understand why we're in the situation. We may not understand what's going on. We're not called to understand. We're called to be faithful to who He is and what He's called us to do. Some of you are struggling this morning. Some of you continue to pray and you're wondering, where is God in all of this? Some of you are struggling with jobs, with health. marriage issues, children, whatever it is. What I want you to understand this morning, that is, apart from Jesus Christ, this is as good as it gets. But in Jesus Christ, we have hope. You see, he tells us in Romans that all things work for the benefit and the glory of those who love him. That through Jesus Christ, I'm not going to tell you that everything's going to be better. There's going to be a peace about what God is bringing you through. That through Jesus Christ, we have hope. The question this morning is not whether or not you want to go to heaven. That's not the question we ask. That's a byproduct of what's going to happen one day. You see, heaven will happen one day, but the question is do you want salvation from sin today? Do you want hope where there is no hope? Because that is what Jesus Christ has to offer. And it's our prayer that you leave here this morning with that kind of understanding of who Christ is. That we need freedom from sin. We need freedom from doubt. We need freedom from hopelessness today, tomorrow. Jesus Christ has openly and freely given us that salvation. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And we thank you. Thank you, Father, you love us. In the midst of all this chaos and everything, that Father, we lay everything at the foot of the cross. Father, many of us are in situations of doubt, frustration, anger. Father, just like John the Baptist, we come and we lay all that at your feet and say, here we are, Father, that you give us freedom from that doubt, those emotions, that anger, and that Father, we seek your will, your purpose, of what you've called us to do. And Father, you haven't called us to a comfortable life. You've called us to one that glorifies your name. You are far greater than us. Thank you, dear Jesus. In your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen. Here in just a moment, we're going to sing. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to stand up, and we want to ask you to respond to what God's doing in your life. Maybe you have questions about this morning. Maybe you have questions about what God's been doing on your life and hanging on your heart. We want to invite you up to the front. We have pastors up here that would be more than happy to talk with you, to pray with you. The altar's open if you want to come up here and pray. But the next few moments is an opportunity for you to respond to who Christ is. Whether it's right where you're at, just praying and crying out to him. Whether it's surrendering your life to him, we pray that you do not waste the next few moments. It's an opportunity to respond to who Christ is. Will you respond this morning? Jesus.